This is Monty Lewis, and in this session on sales coaching, we cover the four functions of the sales manager, developing your leadership skills, the five F's of coaching, the mechanics of observational coaching, and the five steps of field sales coaching. Now, for the last 20 years, I've worked with dozens of sales organizations in a wide range of industries, from healthcare to financial services, from retail to manufacturing and distribution, from high tech to consumer product groups. And typically, no matter what the industry, the sales manager started off his or her career as a salesperson. Hey, you were a top-performing sales rep, and now we're going to make you the sales manager. Unfortunately, the skill sets that help you achieve success as a salesperson are not necessarily the same skill sets you need as a sales manager. As a sales manager, you are responsible for a group of performers, not just yourself. As a sales manager, you work with and through others rather than just working by yourself. And as a sales manager, you develop people, not just accounts. As the sales manager, there are a number of key responsibilities that you perform. They are, number one, planning and forecasting. Number two, recruiting and selection. Number three, measuring and reporting. And number four, developing your team. Often, managers I work with get bogged down with the first three, planning, selection, and reporting, and never leave enough time for people development. People development is an investment, which unfortunately lives in that important but not urgent corner of the time management matrix. There will always be something that seems more important in the moment that will squeeze out your people development intentions. But it's up to you to hold these as sacred on the calendar. It communicates a lot to your team that you don't blow these off and that you take these seriously. And as I said, these are investments. Therefore, they generate a return. Your team will be developing faster than expected, and they will achieve their sales goals. Marginal people will come up to speed faster, or they'll depart on their own. Top performers appreciate your input and are spurred on to go on to the next level. People make better decisions, and they do them without your constant intervention. Less of your time will be spent on troubleshooting and putting out fires, and more of your time can be spent on strategic initiatives, creating new opportunities, new approaches, opening new accounts, and overall, growing the business. Finally, working with your team in the coaching role allows you to get some customer contact now that you're in the management role. It allows you to feel the pulse of the business and hear directly what your salespeople are saying to the customer and how those customers are responding. And it allows you to serve as a role model for your team. It allows you to work on your leadership skills. We say that management is about setting clear expectations. Working with your sales team is about observing how your clear expectations are being carried out. You are inspecting what you expect. Now, your overall approach to working with your team is not about catching them doing something wrong, but rather it's about catching them doing something right. It's about you developing your team, about building their self-confidence and improving their skills. You want to position yourself as a helper. You say, I'm just here to help you grow your business, or I just want to see if I can help you improve your technique. I don't mean you should be namby-pamby and gloss over their mistakes. That doesn't help them out either. Your charge is to have high standards of performance and then hold them to those standards. In fact, we say the five F's of coaching are for you to be firm, fair, frank, factual, and friendly. All right, so how do you provide effective coaching that's both firm and friendly? Well, how you set up the whole coaching experience and how you manage the after-call debrief will largely influence the outcome of your coaching. In the next couple of minutes, we'll cover the mechanics of effective coaching. All right, first, let's talk about what kind of customers we should have our salesperson set up for you going out together. Typically, your salesperson is going to either want to take you out on cakewalks, where he gets to look really good, or he'll take you out on really tough customers where he wants to see what you're going to be able to do. Neither one of these is what we're looking for. What we're looking for are relatively safe selling situations with moderate sales potential. Essentially, what we want are calls where he does the selling and you just observe. We call this practice observational coaching. You watch his or her performance, take good notes, and then later share ideas on improving performance after the call. If you're just introducing coaching for the first time to your sales team, remind them that this is not a final evaluation of their overall performance. This is not the final exam. Rather, it's just a snapshot of their performance on that day. It's just a surprise quiz. Don't try to catch them at their worst. Instead, try to catch them at their best. Help them out by planning out the call before you go in. Even role play for a minute or two with you being the customer. Be clear on what outcomes you'd both like to see and what role, if any, that you're going to play. Your best role should just be you as the observer. You should say, hey, it's your call, I'm just going to be taking some notes, and then we'll talk about the call afterwards. It's important that your sales rep do the introductions when you first meet the customer. It keeps them in the driver's seat and communicates to the customer that the sales rep is in charge. The less said, the better. He or she should say, this is my manager, Monty. He's traveling with me today. He's just trying to make sure that we're doing a good job of understanding our customers' needs. And then the sales rep should just jump into the call, leaving little opportunity for the customer to start asking you some questions about your role and your history and your viewpoints about the business. Be careful if the customer does try to engage you by asking questions. Be sure that you send it back to your sales rep saying, actually, Bob can answer that better than me, or actually, Bob and I were just discussing that exact issue in the car on our way over. Now, one way to avoid the whole awkwardness of you just staying in that observer role is to plan out that you'll cover some of the sales presentation so that you're not just sitting there like a lump on a log. If you have some bad news to go over, like price increases, you should certainly take the fall for your sales rep. If there's some other information from headquarters or the history of the company or future strategy, that'll work fine as well. What you want to avoid is jumping in and doing some of the selling. Don't come in and start cutting special deals or see your role as the super closer. If you feel there is an opportunity with this customer, then you should share with your sales rep after the call and let him or her be the star, not you. It's most important that once you set up these roles before you go in, that you stick to it. Don't let the excitement of the call draw you in. Keep a notepad in front of you. Constantly be writing down your observations. This will allow you to stay in the observer role and helps you avoid eye contact with the customer. All right, you've taken good notes, the call is over, and now you have some good ideas on how to help your sales rep. All right, first, ask your sales rep to drive around the corner so you're not still in the view of the customer's eyes. Next, refuse to comment and ask your sales rep for a self-assessment. Hey, how do you feel that call went? Of course, they'll want your opinion. Hey, you were writing all those notes. What do you think? But stick to your guns and refuse to comment. Say something like, I'll share my ideas in a moment. It's important that I hear your comments first. As they give you their opinions of the call, two questions that you can use that will develop your sales rep are, what did you do well? And what could you do differently? The first question, what did you do well, reaffirms their strengths and builds their confidence. The second question allows them to self-correct without you passing any judgment. There is no, what did you do wrong? There's only, what could you do differently? And differently sometimes is just differently. Even if there's no course correction required, it allows them to explore options and alternative strategies. These two questions should be the centerpiece of your coaching strategy. If they hear you ask these questions over and over, eventually they will ask themselves the very same questions when you're not there. What did I do well, and what could I do differently? And engage in a self-coaching process. Unfortunately, some of your sales reps are not fully self-aware or are not yet comfortable with you coaching them. For these sales reps, you may need to be more direct. After your self-assessment questions, if the answers are not quite adequate, then you'll have to offer some suggestions. Even those suggestions should be offered up in a tentative fashion, sometimes referencing a third party. You might say, you know, some of the other reps I've been working with have tried this strategy. How does that sound? Or sometimes you present our information in this way, you might get a better response from the customer. What do you think? Now, as you close out your debriefing session, agree on one strategy one idea, one action item that they will try on the very next call. This cements that idea into action and is the starting point of establishing a new, more effective sales habit. Now, there's typically four mistakes that sales managers make when coaching their sales team. The first mistake is we tend to underestimate the sales rep's discomfort. Essentially, we have forgotten that our sales rep would really rather be doing his job alone without having someone sitting in the passenger seat next to him. It's real important that you set the tone that you're just there to help and grow their business. Some managers will take the field travel opportunity to meet with their rep extra early and go over their sales goals and get ready for today's accounts and a chance to really connect with the rep on a personal level. This is a great way to set them at ease and make them more comfortable. Ask the rep not to overload the day with too many calls. You don't want them all stressed out, running out of time in between calls. Plus, you're going to need some time to coach and debrief after each call. You don't want to do some coaching while they're driving to their next meeting. The second mistake managers tend to make when coaching is forcing their opinion. A man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. Your job is to ask self-assessment questions and gently make suggestions to guide them to new habits. It's easy to tell a person to improve. It takes a lot more skill and finesse for a sales rep to discover for themselves where they need to improve. And they discover this through your thoughtful questions. The third mistake is that we tend to overload our sales reps with too many points. This is the most common error in sales coaching. We feel that this is our only chance to influence the sales rep's behavior, and so we unleash all of our improvement strategies in just one fell swoop. Being overloaded with improvement ideas, the sales rep will do none of them. Your charge as the sales coach is to determine what one priority behavior that, if improved, will make a significant difference, and then focus all your attention on developing that one behavior. Over time, if you improve just one behavior each time you coach the sales rep, then eventually you'll make your way through that list. But throw the whole list at them at one time, and you'll see absolutely no improvement. Finally, the fourth mistake we make in sales coaching is failing to follow up. We identify the priority behavior, and we may even develop together a performance improvement plan, but then we let them loose and don't follow up. The degree to which you follow up is the degree to which they will take your recommendations seriously. Get specific. What behavior will be practiced, and what is your practice plan? What is your follow-up strategy? When will you circle back around and see how they're doing? Be clear about the practice plan and your follow-up strategy, and your sales rep will take your suggestions seriously. At the end of the coaching session, you have to pull it all together with a clear action plan. Review the priority behaviors you've identified from each of your sales calls. Determine together the one skill that needs to be worked on over the next couple of weeks or months. Develop together a practice plan that will develop that skill. Sometimes we need for our sales reps to do extra remedial work in order for us to see some rapid performance improvement. Each person has a different learning style. Ask your sales rep what is the best way for them to learn. What did they do back in school that worked for them? Ask them, then, to do some extra information gathering from the internet and provide you with a summary by next week, or ask them to talk to their colleagues that are strong in this area and find out what they're doing, or have them do some rote work so that it drills in this new habit pattern. Have them listen to a podcast, take an e-course, attend a seminar, read a book, and then provide you with a written summary after they've done their learning. This is your practice plan, but then you have to agree to personally follow up. You might say, hey, after you complete your practice plan, you and I will go out in the field again and we'll see how you're doing. Or, work on these assignments and 60 days from now, you and I will meet to see where you're at. All right, to review the five steps to effective coaching, first, number one, set the tone. Make sure you acknowledge the sales rep's discomfort and explain that you're just there to help. Number two, ask the sales rep for a self-assessment. How do you think the sales call went? And then, what did you do well and what could you do differently? Number three, identify the priority behavior. What's the one improvement area that will make a significant difference in the sales rep performance? Number four, develop a practice plan. What is the best way for this sales rep to rapidly improve this one skill? And then number 5, agree on a follow-up strategy. How and when are you going to personally get involved to hold this sales rep accountable for their own performance improvement? Following this 5-step process for sales coaching can turn around sales reps that are in real trouble, or it can move plateaued sales reps either up or out, or spur on even your top performers to the very next level. It creates a real sense of belonging when you engage with your sales reps in this fashion, and then they will walk through walls for you. It's the best source of motivation for your sales team, and it's the very best use of your time. If you have any questions about field coaching with your sales team, please contact me. This is Monty Lewis, and I wish you all the best.